Valuetown is a production of ChamMV TV. Find out all show information and details at chamMV.tv. Valuetown is directly supported by listeners like yourself via patreon.com/valuetown.
This is our town.
Welcome!
What's up, everybody? Where are we? There we are. Okay, there we are. Welcome to episode 219 of Valuetown. I'm Chan Man V. Got the lovely Cora joining us today. What's up, Cora?
I'm good. How are you doing, Chan?
Good, good. Man, I had a little production issues today. Man, it's been kind of throwing me off a little bit. But I'm glad that you're here today so that we can have some great discussions because there's new cards out. This is the most exciting time of the year, or at least one of the three most exciting times of the year. So yeah, what do you think so far, you know, just with expansion and the theme and everything?
I'm very excited. Thematically, League of Explorers was one of my favorite expansions of all time, so I'm really happy that they're bringing them back. And I think one of the biggest strengths that Hearthstone has to play on is the characters that they've created and the background that they can give them. So I'm really happy that they're starting to expand on that a little bit more and give us more of that storyline with the consecutive expansions that all sort of tie into each other.
Yeah. This is like the first time, right, they brought back people, right? Like, you know, in terms of the theme itself, not just like a card or something like that. So it's kind of good to see that they're willing to do that too. So it's not just going to be continually, you know, just forget the League of Explorers and never talk about them again. So you know, the last two I think has been pretty cool to see you know, them revisiting these characters they've created. So I've enjoyed it too. You know, I particularly, we're going to talk about this obviously, the Fyre Festival in a second, but you know, the Fyre Festival being a meme too in some ways, but at the same time not quite a meme, because I was like expecting like to see tents or something, you know, like you know, some terrible tent somewhere, like, you know, on Dalaran or something. But you know, they didn't go that far. I was a little disappointed.
Not gonna lie, there was a call between one of the community managers and Chris Sierra and some of the community members, just previewing the Fyre Festival before it went live. And one of the questions we had was, are you at all concerned about the Fyre Festival and the potential negative connotation that that could have? And they're like, well, we did it first, so it'll be okay.
Dude, that's a great, this community is all about memes. So that was a great opportunity to kind of jump into it. So, but obviously they didn't do anything with it. They were the first to do it. You know, Fyre Festival did precede the you know, the FYRE festival. But anyways, so why don't we talk about just what we've done this week, you know, Hearthstone. We kind of start off like we always do. So have you been playing a bunch, Cora? Like what you been up to?
I have been. I've actually been playing more Arena than anything this month, just because I haven't had a chance to explore the new Arena rotations that they've been doing with the different expansions they've been putting in.
Yeah.
And, you know, I hit Legend every month in Ladder, but Ladder not really counting for much. I'd rather take my time and just sort of get there whenever I want to with whatever I want to in the last month before an expansion comes out. So I've been playing a lot of Arena. And on Ladder yesterday, I actually went from rank 5 to rank 2 with Murloc Shaman. So I had a really good run with that. And I've been enjoying playing that deck. But yeah, just sort of a more relaxed approach this month.
Yeah, Murloc Shaman, yeah, still good. Not sure it's going to be good moving forward with some of these cards we're going to talk about today, because of just, man, some of the powerful removal that we're going to be seeing. But it's good. It's nice to have a deck like that. It's nice to have a deck that's just like, you know, there's no qualms about what it is. It's just a straight up, you know, zoo-like aggro deck that, you know, if you don't handle it properly and you don't play it, I mean, you have to play it properly too. Like the people, I think people take for granted how little nuances of that deck work, but yeah, it's cool to see a powerful deck that you can climb with, that you can play quick games with. It's nice.
The games are very fast.
Yeah. I've still been playing Shaman, but I still play, you know, my control Shaman. I've played a little bit of the Resurrect Priest some too, just because I've lost to it some, so I just kind of wanted to experience it a bit too, but But yeah, you know, it's definitely good timing for the expansion, because I feel like, you know, nothing new's come in a long time, or not a long time, but maybe, you know, in weeks now. So it'd be good to get some new cards in here. But yeah, speaking of speaking of the Fyre Festival, you know, that started about a week and a half ago now, maybe 2 weeks ago, is it somewhere around there. And that's right. Right.
This is the second week. Yeah, this is the second. Tavern Brawl just went live today.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So it's going to be 3 weeks, and it's going to be like, you know, a lot of the other events, there's going to be some cool, you know, some cool quests that are always going to be great for you if you finish a new special fireside. The biggest thing I think to really talk about is that the Tavern Brawls, like you mentioned, the second Tavern Brawl's out. They've had like, they're going to have 3 solo adventure Tavern Brawls. So it's going to kind of feel like you're playing the solo adventures where you have to defeat 8 bosses. And the cool thing about it is that they've actually tied in card reveals to these Tavern Brawls now for the first time. So I think that the goal is 25 million bosses, like all of the players base completing 25 million bosses in the Tavern Brawl. And for every 25% done, they reveal a card, like on social media.
So, you know what? You asked me earlier if they revealed a card today, and I said no, but I lied. No. They absolutely did, because we hit 25 million.
Oh, did we? Bosses. I think that was the last one, right? I think we've done. I think they've revealed a few already. That might be the the final. Wow, we completed that fast, guys. That's amazing.
They just revealed the 4th card. We'll get to that.
We'll get to that. You might have to link me that in a second. But this always happens during the Value Town. They always like release something where I'm not like ready for it, and it's like, oh man.
I think it was like 2 or 3 hours ago.
Was it? Really, okay. Yeah. Make me feel even worse then, Cora. Thanks.
No. I spend my life on Twitter. I am ingrained in social media, and it's not healthy, Chadman. You have a family and a life. Let me dirty work.
If only I had somebody that's just looking at her Twitter at me nonstop. That would actually be amazing. I might actually pay somebody to do that. Believe it or not,
my Twitter hound.
Exactly. But yeah, so the Fyre Festival. Yeah, what do you think? You know, it's pretty cool. What do you think of the idea of you know, just having the community take part in these card reveals?
I think it's really cool. I think it's really easy, being so ingrained in Hearthstone esports, to forget just how many people play Hearthstone. Because I think the community at times can feel quite small, especially when you've got, you know, 48 grandmasters who you're seeing every single week. It can feel like there's not much more beyond that. But defeating 25 million bosses was not a difficult undertaking for the entire Hearthstone community, because you have so many people playing Tavern Brawl every week who, you know, maybe you just don't realize how popular it really is, because for me, I play it once a week and then I don't play it again. For a lot of people, it's a big part of their Hearthstone experience. So I think it's really cool. I think it's really good to get the community involved. And it's a good way to expand on card reveal season. I think card reveal season has been pretty much the same thing over and over again. And I'm a big advocate for changing it up.
Yeah, me too. Like I was even telling Chris Sierra that, you know, I thought that was a great idea, you know, just having the community take part. I would have loved, to be honest, I know this kind of like totally goes against the whole marketing element to it, but I would have loved if all of the cards were revealed, like based on the community participating somehow. I think that would actually be cool to, you know, one of these expansions is do it. You don't have to do it everyone, but just having them completely involved in it, and you know, instead of just having influencers and outlets and things like that, that'd actually be pulling in the entire community, which is kind of a cool concept.
That would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
I don't know if they would ever go quite so far, but I think that they would. I think that they would certainly give more card reveals to, you know, ventures like this in the future. What they do at the end with just like the Facebook card dump doesn't benefit them in any way. Like, if they can find structured ways to reveal all of the cards and actually benefit individuals or benefit Hearthstone and Blizzard by doing it that way, I think they absolutely will.
Yeah. No, to your point, there's so many at the end that surely they could give away more, you know, like surely they could plan more, you know, because I don't know what goes behind the decision making for, you know, which cards actually do get revealed and how they're given out. But I don't know. Sometimes I'm not sure there actually is much that's involved, you know, at times as to who gets what. So a couple more, you know, that wouldn't hurt. I don't mind, you know, the final reveal being a little bit less, a couple less cards.
Blizzard, he's saying he wants a card reveal.
I'm not saying that. I'm not necessarily saying that either, but that you know, it'd be nice. It definitely would be nice.
Has Value Town had reveals in the past?
Yeah, we had one expansions ago, I think. Value Town, actually. Yeah, Value Town, we had one. We had one back when Allie and Jackie was here. We did one. And Streamer Showdown had one, like a couple expansions ago. And they're fun and all. Like, I'm just going to be completely honest here. They're fun and all, but they're kind of stressful, to be honest. Like, you know, there was a time where I just like, oh, God, I was dying to get one. But now it's like, man, I don't actually mind if I don't get one. But it's obviously an honor to get one. But at the same time, it's like, man, it's the community expects a lot when you do these card reveals. So it's a lot of
work.
I'm
totally okay with having nothing to do with card reveals.
Yeah, okay. Okay, you are? Okay, so you kind of feel a little bit the same way I do.
I'm cool with watching.
Yeah, especially with all this, like, Disguised Toast drama, which brings us, you know, to... Actually, I didn't even have it listed here, but, you know, a little bit of drama in the last day or two. The last day, really, 24 hours involving... Disguised Toast. So actually, to wrap up the Fire Festival, guys, go and participate in the Fire Festival. Get all your packs and get all your gold and everything, you know, and I think that was the final card, so I don't even know if there's any more cards to really reveal, but play the Timer Ball, you know, all that good stuff. But anyways, getting to the drama, you know, so Disguised Toast got a card reveal, no surprise. I mean, he pretty much gets one every single expansion because he's one of the top streamers, right? Apparently, there's been backlash, you know, on Reddit pertaining mostly. It had a lot to do with just Tice not getting one, you know, and then it just, you know, talked about Toast. It just ended up turning into a Toast discussion because Toast has been playing so much Teamfight Tactics lately. Just being not as interested in Hearthstone during the ends of these expansions and things like that. So today, Toast ended up posting this. Hold on a second, let me go to it. So he ended up posting this on Twitter after like a thread on Reddit started as to like why Toast got a card reveal, you know, and he hasn't really been playing. He's like a TFT streamer now, or at least people think that now. You know, in terms of this tweet, he was basically gave the card back to Blizzard and is not doing their card reveal anymore. So, I don't know. Like, I guess thoughts on that, Cora. Like, just this whole thing about Toast and him giving it back, and just the community reacting in that way, especially because Tice didn't get one.
I think Toast has given so much of his career to this game, and I think regardless of what Toast chooses to do with his time now, he's still going to be a member of the Hearthstone community. He's still Toast. Disguised Toast came from Hearthstone. And he's never, it's not like he's come out and said he's never going to play Hearthstone again, like mm-hmm. Hafu did. Yeah. And complete respect to Hafu. She's a freaking queen. I love her to death. Mm-hmm. But you know, she just isn't happy playing Hearthstone anymore. Toast never said that. He just has been playing TFT because he's enjoyed it. So I think we're probably going to see Toast streaming Hearthstone again when the expansion comes out. I think it was an overreaction, from the community. I think that yes, Tice not getting a card reveal is weird, because Tice is one of the top Hearthstone streamers who's been committed to Hearthstone throughout its entire existence, and I think that should be rewarded. But the mentality from the people who choose who gets card reveals, and that's something that, you know, obviously we're sort of on the inside and we know a little bit more about the process than the average person does. They want to help grow the community, and they want to help grow different language streamers or smaller streamers, people like Regis Kilbin, for instance, or Slissa, who've been getting a lot of attention lately because they've been on the come up. So it's not going to be the same people every time. But I do think that, like we were saying before, there's definitely space for more cards to be given to community members to reveal, so that maybe we don't have the problem of people like Tyson RDU not having cards to reveal, because that is bizarre. I think it's fair to, you know, give a person a card for one expansion and then, you know, give them a card for an expansion, two expansions later. Like, I don't think it has to be the same people every time, and to assume that it's going to be the same people every time is a little bit short-sighted. So I do think this was an overreaction. I like Toast. I've always been a fan of Toast. I think Toast having a card to reveal, he's always going to do it justice. He's always going to put effort into revealing that content. So I think that the community being up in arms over this is just, it's weird. Like, I think that they feel betrayed almost that one of Hearthstone's most popular streamers has gone and done something else. But so what?
Yeah.
people are allowed to play different games. Like, we were talking a little bit before we started. I play a lot of Overwatch.
Yeah.
Like, an excessive amount of Overwatch, and nobody gives me crap for it, like, because I still play Hearthstone, but sometimes I don't want to stream Hearthstone, and I don't know, would that make me ineligible to get a card review? It's just so weird.
Yeah.
It's just so weird.
Yeah, it's a, you know, for the most part, I agree with you. It's kind of a really touchy subject in some ways, you know, because, like, for sure, like, for his reputation, his history with Hearthstone, I mean, he's like, you know, if there's a Hall of Fame, Scott Stokes is in the Hall of Fame, right? You know, for Hearthstone, you know, so from that standpoint, he deserves to be able to do, you know, he deserves a card reveal no matter what, no matter if he's playing TFT for a while or not. Like, he, you know, I it's not that he deserves it, but I can understand why Blizzard would want to give it to him, and we as a community shouldn't, you know, I don't feel like we should react one way or the other. You know, one thing with these card reveals, like, people make such a big deal out of them, you know, like,
really do.
I know, it's like, in the beginning when they were first doing it, I can kind of understand it. I mean, I felt like it too. It's like, I mean, dude, I'd like a card reveal too, you know, because it's kind of like an honorary thing, right? Mm-hmm. But at this point, come on, it's been like years and years now since we've been doing reveals. You look like you're about to say something. Like, what do you want to say?
My thing is, like, how many people actually take, like, the puzzle boxes that they had
last?
How many people actually go to the person's stream who's revealing it and sit through them opening that entire puzzle box just to see the card?
Right.
Or do you just wait for it to be on Reddit 10 minutes later?
That's what the people do. Yeah, exactly.
I think the majority of the people don't even go to the streams. They don't even care about who's revealing the card as long as it gets revealed.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, and I think that in the beginning, people would. You know, I remember when I did my first one, I mean, I think that YouTube video got hundreds of thousands of, you know, like hits on it, and it was like amazing. And it's just like, oh, this is a great way to, like, you know, bring exposure to content makers and things like that. At this point, it's not so much that, and you can kind of tell, like, some of these great reveals, like, Ali's done some great reveals, and they don't
the
even
Chinese
get that.
Card reveals
the Chinese
are always
insane.
They're, like, absolutely
they're
phenomenal.
Freaking, like, anime things. I mean, they're like crazy movies with the special effects and stuff. But you know, those don't even get that many views. You know, I'm talking about, like, you know, they still get tens of thousands of views, but they're not getting, like, the crazy hundreds of thousands of views. So I think you're absolutely right. I think people just, like, wait on social media. Everybody, you know, everybody these days just goes and takes a screenshot of it and doesn't even link back to the, you know, the content maker anyway. So it's
a karma farm on Reddit.
It really, like, is. Yeah.
Post a picture of the new card.
Yeah, it really is. And I mean, I think it deserves some thought in terms of, like, how to do it in a way that is more hype. You know, like, just don't keep doing the same thing over and over again, because it eventually just gets tired. You know, it doesn't become special anymore. You know, and then people, you know, like ourselves, don't want to do them anymore. Like,
it's to the point where even the big card reveal streams are just like, everybody's so cynical regarding card reveal streams.
Yeah, exactly.
And having been part of a card reveal stream last season, like,
which card did you get last time?
Well, I was on with Peter Whalen.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, that's right. You did the big one. What am I talking about? You did the big one. Yeah.
I hosted it.
Yeah, that was great. Well, you got a lot of negative stuff from that, but still, I thought it was fine, quite honestly.
It used to be that everybody was just so excited to see the new cards that they just wanted to see you play with them. And now it's like, okay, get to the cards and get off. Well, like,
not just that, play perfectly too while you're on stream. It's like
go put the cards on my screen and go away. Like, they just don't, it's very cynical now.
Yeah, I agree.
And it didn't used to be that way. So it's weird, like, having spent so much time in this community and having revered the card reveal streams and revered the people who revealed cards in the past, it's just not that way anymore.
I wonder how, you know, like, what we can do to, like, kind of bring some more hype back to it. Do we need to take, like, one expansion where we don't show anything? You know, like, literally, you just, like, see all the cards.
That would be sweet. If Hearthstone was just like, surprise, here's an expansion.
Yeah, I kind of like that, to be honest. And I've said it a couple of times in the past, but people, you know, obviously a lot of marketing things make sense to expand it and whatnot. But I just like everybody to start on the same page. You know, like, everybody, all the influencers, whatever, see the cards the same time I see, you know, all of us see the cards, all the fans see the cards. And I think that would be amazing to kind of experience that once again. You know, that's how Hearthstone used to be, like when it first came out. We'd all like, oh man, what's Hogger? You know, like what are all these cards, you know? And that was like really hype, and watching people stream was hype. Now it's like, man, not as big a deal. So yeah, I think some of that needs to be reevaluated. But getting back to Toast, you know, I think that today's, you know, just today, streamers and whatnot, they're not going to just play one game anymore. You know, like it is, it's not quite variety gaming, like not outright, like literally play every single AAA, you know, game that comes out, but it's definitely, streamers will have their primary game and then they'll play at least one or two other games, probably one other game on the side just to stay sane. You know, that's just healthy to be able to do that, right?
I mean, even if it's, you know, taking sponsorship deals and, yeah, and streaming those games, like Tice was streaming Skylanders for a while and apparently nobody remembers that, but it happened.
Of course. He played a little bit of Skylanders, right? Like, was it just for ads or was it?
Was it
mostly for ads?
Yeah, I think it was a sponsorship deal, but he played it a fair bit.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's different, though.
I think it's all a bit petty. I think Toast is going to be a part of the Hearthstone community for a very long time, and I think to write him off because he's been playing TFD for the last few months is just like, man. I think Toast is just a very polarized person, a very polarizing person too. Like, there are just some people who really do not enjoy his stream for whatever reason.
Well, you can't please everybody, you know, like,
yeah, of course.
There's no question Toast's content has changed over the years. You know, like, his YouTube videos were completely different. You know, like he wasn't as much of a personality back then as much as, you know, as much as he was more of a educator in some ways, right? Like those YouTube videos. So, you know, now he's just he's a personality. So what you get from his stream and what you get from, not so much as YouTube videos, but definitely his stream. I guess his YouTube videos are a lot of highlights too. It's going to be different.
I remember interacting with Toast like in other people's chats back when he was just the guy who would make the interaction videos and the bug videos. And it's kind of incredible how much he's blown up over the last several years.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the career that he's managed to make for himself. And I respect him so much. I guess for people who just didn't know him or know of him before he became very popular, that they don't know any better, I guess, than to see him as this personality that he sort of puts on, honestly, for his audience. And that can be a rather polarizing personality, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, for sure. You know, his ascension is you know, he's definitely one of the top streamers like on Twitch right now. So I think that, you know, having coming from the Hearthstone space, you know, we've got like a couple of the top, you know, Twitch streamers coming from the Hearthstone space. So we should be proud of that. You know, we shouldn't be, you know, we shouldn't be criticizing like them like this and possibly chasing them away from the community, which is like the last thing we want to do, you know. Thankfully, Toast has got
The community saw that Toast was getting a reveal and we're like, oh, this is awesome. Toast is getting a reveal. Toast is going to play Hearthstone again. Like, we always want Toast to play Hearthstone. If the community had like welcomed him instead of being like, give your card back, you scumbag.
You traitor.
How dare you reveal a Hearthstone card? You left us. We never want you back.
No, I don't get
come
it.
Come on.
Yeah.
Come on. You think he's going to want to stream Hearthstone now? Like, there are a lot of people who really like watching him stream Hearthstone, myself included.
Yeah, I mean, it comes with a territory that there's going to be a lot of, I mean, just a vocal minority that doesn't like your stream. Crip has his share of it, you know, it's just Crip doesn't reply to any of the stuff, you know, on Twitter or Reddit like Toast does. So, but anyways, yeah, in the end, you know, he gives back the card. They're probably not giving it to anybody. You know, I don't know what good that was in the end. we'll see. Yeah.
I don't know what they'll do with it. I don't think they're going to give it to Tice.
They shouldn't give it to anybody. Yeah, that'd be bad.
If they do give it to somebody, then that's going to be giving the naysayers too much power.
I feel sorry for the person they give it to if they give it to somebody.
Yeah, because there's nobody wants to play second fiddle. That sucks.
Or they're just going to go, oh, you know,
it really sucks.
Toast died for you, you know, like that whole thing, right? Like
you're going to be known as the person who got a card revealed because Toast didn't want it.
Yeah, exactly. That's no fun for sure.
So all the community really has accomplished here is seeing one less card.
Yep. Early. Or at least having, you know, or seeing one less cool content, you know, cool video or a cool stream being made from it. So
they'll probably throw it in with maybe a card reveal stream or.
Yeah,
or they'll just dump it at the end. Who knows? But
I kind of liked the boxes last time. You know, it's like I was kind of hoping they would do. Yeah, right.
I liked the boxes. Yeah, I thought the boxes were very cool. I don't know what they're doing this time. Maybe they're not doing anything.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Well, it sounded like Toast knew what the card was because he responded to a few comments, like saying something about Battlecry. So he already knew what the card was. So it wasn't a box for sure. I'm not sure. You know, who knows? Hopefully, it's something different. Mm-hmm. But. All right, but you know, it's good to have a little Hearthstone drama from time to time. We don't get too much of that these days.
Hearthstone drama used to be so good. I know.
Yeah, it did, right? Gosh, man.
The early days of Hearthstone, we had, goodness gracious.
We need Raynad back on the scene, dude. That's
what. Raynad was the catalyst for so much.
He really was. It was great, though. It was definitely great.
Whether it was like people he put on his team who didn't actually exist.
Gosh.
Or people he pissed off. Or teams he made.
He still will stick by Magic Gaming existing. So to this day,
you know what? If he changed his story, it wouldn't do him any good.
I guess not. All right. Well, we've got a bunch of cards to talk about, but before we do, just want to let you guys know that today we are sponsored by Candid Company, which if you guys aren't familiar with it. They are, they're a company that has braces, you know, alternatives to orthodontics, you know, braces. So, let's see. If you want to get your teeth fixed, and, you know, the last thing we want to do is to wear braces. That's, you know, you can actually go to Candid and get these clear alternative braces. It's pretty cool. My son actually recently, had to go in, and we've had to talk about it. So we've been, you know, thinking about different options as well. So, Candid has orthodontist who's like licensed in your state, and they create like this whole treatment plan for you. And they only use like experienced orthodontists. They use these 3D preview that kind of shows you just like how everything will look to, you know, to your final results to like what your teeth will look like in the end, which is pretty cool. And you don't have to go to an orthodontist office. They kind of just send, you know, the aligners and everything clear, you know, just directly to you, just mail them to you. And it costs 65% less than normal braces, which is going to save you just thousands of dollars. And usually the time it takes to kind of straighten your teeth is around 6 months. So if you go right now, you can, you know, get your teeth straightened now. And if you go to candidco.com/valuetown, you can get some and use the valuetown code, you can get $75 off. So again, candidco.com/valuetown, check it out. Braces were
I was lucky enough to never need them.
You really? You had straight teeth? You
wanted to,
oh my god, dude, I don't know many like legit straight teeth, like not just they're good enough, you know, like we don't need braces. You got legit straight teeth?
They're not perfect. I have one tooth that's like slightly behind another one.
Oh, okay. But close.
The dentist was like, if it doesn't bother you, it doesn't bother me. And I was like, fantastic.
Yeah, okay.
I do.
Yeah, that's nice.
I did lose the wisdom teeth lottery. I had four wisdom teeth.
I did too.
I had three removed. And I still
only three? One. Gosh, I had them all removed. Chipmunk City.
I was supposed to have all four, but then one was so high impacted that they would have broken my molar if they took it out. So they were like, we're just going to address this eventually.
Okay.
So I'm dreading eventually, because getting the first three removed, everybody said it was not going to be a problem.
Oh,
it was
lying.
Horrible.
Yeah.
It was absolutely horrible.
Yeah, me too. It's just... you know, to clean just all that stuff. I'm not going to talk about wisdom teeth here, but yeah, so it's definitely going through that phase with my son. It's definitely been an experience, but let's talk about cards. We've got, you know, from the new expansion, we've got some more. I think we revealed a few of them, last episode, but we've got some more here. So let me bring that up here. We're going to start out with the Paladin cards. It's because there are actually three of them. You know, like they just decided to go nuts on Baladin for some reason. But,
yeah, well, all three of these were revealed during the Grandmasters playoffs.
Yeah.
So they did them sort of, you know, one, two, one three.
Yep.
Reveal the whole package.
Yeah, so we're going to start with the first one, 3-mana, 3-1 Beast, Salhet's Pride. It's a rare card, Death Rattle, draw 2/1 health minions from your deck. And if you kind of look at the rest of these before getting into them, they all have one health. So there's definitely something about one health, you know, that they're definitely pushing in terms of the Paladin. So what you think about this?
I think as a package, it's okay. I could see this potentially being somewhat of a Zoo Paladin utilizing Magic Carpet, maybe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Salhet's Pride's Death Rattle, obviously working similar to Christology, though with health instead of mana cost. Or health instead of attack, excuse me. I think these are okay. I don't know that this by itself is enough to give us a brand new archetype of Paladin. I think they're going to have to push for it a little bit more. But it is possible that they've got other cards in the set that we'll be building towards, you know, an aggressive Paladin, the first one that we've had since Odd Paladin when Bakwe rotated early.
Yeah, like this does seem to be an attempt to start getting, you know, some of that kind of wide dude Paladin, Odd Paladin, like you said, type of archetype back in the game. It's gonna, I mean, they're gonna need a lot because there's like literally nothing that supports that from the previous expansions. So
yeah,
I mean, every one of these cards are gonna have to do it. But yeah, so Salhet's Pride, Brazen Zealots, the next one, 1-mana, 2/1, which that's a pretty interesting card just by itself, 2/1, 1-mana. Rare card, whenever you summon a minion, gain +1 attack. So this one gets stronger and stronger. I don't know, best case it just trades with something, you know, that's worth 2-mana, 3-mana. And yeah, it's kind of weak. Just anything with one health, you know, that's tough without like Divine Shield or anything like that. I just don't see how that survives. Like a Pyromancer just like is a one card answer to like a lot of these things.
I mean, just think about the best case scenario, I guess, with this card. As you play it on turn one going first, on turn two, you play a 2-drop or 2/1 drops, and then you have a 3/1 or a 4/1. It's dealing early damage. It is really hard to keep it alive unless I suppose your 2-drop is the 2-mana 2/2 that gives Divine Shield.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, it's not very exciting
for this card. It's right. Okay. I think it's okay. I think in Arena it's going to be good. I think in Wild with like Muster for Battle and Shield and Mini Bot, this is probably really good.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair. Last one is Sand Wasp Queen. It's a 2-mana 3/1 again beast. All these beasts now, you know, in Paladin. It's common. Battlecry, add 2/1 Sand Wasps to your hand. So this one, you know, I understand the Battlecry for this one. You know, this one feels like a, you know, token druid type of card. But in terms of, again, 3/1, I mean, attack's nice, but the one, again, at 2-mana, that's pretty bad. But you got to give up some value to get two cards in your hand, basically.
I could see this with potentially like Glowstone Technician buffs.
Hand buffs, yeah.
Yeah, it's not bad, but it's like every rogue is going to have a clear on two of your minions for, you know, just one of their own hero powers. Mage can clear everything up quite well. So the classes that I guess Paladin is already weak to, it's going to remain quite weak to with these cards. But again, there's a lot that we are missing out on from the Paladin class for this expansion. We haven't seen the legendaries yet. So maybe they could synergize.
Yeah, there's obviously something going on with the 1-mana. I mean, there's got to be either a card that buffs the one health cards, or something that gets extremely cheap because of these one health cards. There has to be. Like, these are too weak otherwise, you know, for me to imagine them, you know, being good. And not to mention these removal cards we're about to talk about. I mean, this just gets demolished, you know, by these kind of cards. So I'd have to predict it's something to do with Divine Shields, or I don't know, something that protects these cards a bit better than what we're seeing right now. You think they would have led with that, though? Like, why not lead with that card and then just go nuts with the cards that actually follow it up? So I don't know what they were thinking about. Yeah.
So I want to be like, these three cards, they're not great, but bam, now they're great.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So, we'll have to see with Paladin, it's already got some viable things. We've seen in like Grandmasters, you know, people playing Paladin, but, not as good on the ladder, but you know, I still think that, you know, they have some relevancy even without, if these cards miss a little bit. Okay, let's see. Next ones we got here are, yes, I like these. We got Priest card, Psycho Pump. It's a 4-mana, another 3/1, a battle cry, summon a random friendly minion that died this game, give it reborn. And for those of you who don't know what reborn is, reborn, folks, is a new keyword that what it means is when it dies, it comes back as a a 1 health version of itself. You know, in a way, it's kind of like a resurrect with like one, you know, like a 1 health type of thing. So with this one doesn't have the rush like we saw with the previous reborn card that was revealed before. So a little bit, you know, different in that way. Well, it actually gives it to something that it summons. So what do you got? What do you think about this? This is like the resurrect theme, of course, but it's got this little nuance of reborn.
Psycho Bomb's insane.
Yeah.
I think it's just insane.
yeah.
4 mana with the battle cry to summon a random friendly minion that died this game, which you're assuming in a deck that you're going to be playing this card, you're going to be playing minions that can benefit from being resummoned for 4 mana. So typically very powerful minions. And give it reborn, which means when it dies, it comes back with 1 health. It's the redemption effect.
Yeah.
I think inherently this is going to be inconsistent, and you're going to obviously have to probably play 2 copies of Psycho Pomp in any deck that you're wanting to play this card. So you could always have, you know, the potential to resurrect itself. Maybe there's Northshire Clerics in the res pool, whatever. But I do think, you know, in a deck that wants to play this card is going to be inherently very, very good.
You know what's funny about that? Because, I mean, I agree that it's going to be very good. If you play 2 of them, the first Psycho Pump actually messes up your resurrect chances, right? So yeah. That's kind of an interesting dynamic to it. But yeah, I think the cards that, are, you know, even just now, right, are being run in the Resurrect Priest are all, or some of them are interesting. You know, some of them are just taunts and it's not as big a deal, but you know, some of them actually resurrect, you know, one at the end of turn, you know, or, you know, yeah, do all kinds of crazy stuff like that. So we'll have to see what ends up coming from that. But, you know, another pretty interesting Priest card that has the same theme, which, yeah, cool. Let's see. The next one we got here is a Rogue card. And this is 1 mana. So it's a Plague of Madness, one of the plagues. It's a rare card. Each player equips a 2/2 knife with poison. Like when is it possible for a card to give your opponent the same thing you get to be good?
Yes.
Is it? Okay.
I think so. Talk to me. I think it is.
All right.
For a couple reasons. First reason being you have initiative.
Yeah.
You get to attack with the knife first. And you get to build the deck that wants to play this card, that wants to benefit from this card.
True.
So there's always, you know, much like Weapons Project, overriding your opponent's weapon and giving them the 2/3 weapon. You can use this sort of as a pseudo weapon removal. You could also use this with, you know, like Acidic Swampoos or Harrison Jones, mm-hmm. if you want to benefit from this card immediately. You could also play this card with, like, Captain Greenskin to give you more swings on the knife. I just see a lot of ways where this can be very useful.
Yeah.
And I think it's pretty good.
Okay. Yeah, for sure. It's very similar to people playing Weapons Project and playing Harrison Jones. You know, you get the card draw. So, you know, definitely from that standpoint, it is good. But man, if my opponent ever got to keep a 2/2 knife, I mean, it's basically unplayable until you do get that scenario, or unless you're in a bad spot. Yeah.
You have to think, though, that a lot of Rogue's minions are pretty small, pretty unimpactful. Like, geez, I don't know, like Swashburglar.
Or any of the lackeys or anything like that.
Yeah,
right?
Any of the lackeys. Yeah. Like, a lot of what they're playing is not doing a whole lot on board until Rogue wants it to do a whole lot on board. Yeah, you have to think that the poisonous factor is going to be more impactful for the Rogue than it is for the Rogue's opponent.
Right. No, that definitely makes sense. And it's a 1 mana card, too. That's Absolutely comboable, like with, yes, with a lot of different things.
Very much.
All right, so the next card, this is like one of my favorite cards. The 3-mana bees with 4 E's. Yeah. And choose a minion. It's a druid code common. You can play two of them. Choose a minion, summon 4/1/1 bees that attack it. So you can think of it as like a removal card, right? That, you know, instead of attacking, you know, doing 4 damage like a Shadow Bolt or something like that, it just attacks it one at a time, which, you know, you're like, well, what does that do? Well, you know, clearly, so what is that?
So much.
So much. So much is right. Yeah. So the fact, you know, the bees are obviously beasts as well, too. So, you know, there's synergy with so many cards. I mean, I think that's what's exciting about it. Just by changing, you know, like a removal to be attacked like one at a time, it's like an arcane missile with minions. It ends up making a huge, huge difference. So, yeah. So let's list out some cards it synergizes with, like
Knife Juggler,
Acolyte,
Lion Cracker.
Lion Cracker. Yeah.
Acolyte of Pain.
Acolyte of Pain. God, Urbashi. Can you imagine if you got a
Berserker? Berserker? The 5-mana 2/7.
Oh yeah. That's right. So it has to hit the same target though. So it's not like you can like choose, you know, each one. So that's a little bit of a nuance. God, can you imagine if there's a Hunter card? Oh my God, that'd be like crazy for how you.
Cardigan in the chat says Cult Master. That's absolutely correct.
Oh, I didn't even think of that one. That's four cards. Woo-hoo. Killer.
The big thing that people immediately figured out that was actually confirmed is bees will trigger overkill. So with Linecracker, if you summon bees to attack Linecracker, Linecracker will overkill and double its attack 4 times. And if you do 2 copies of bees with Linecracker,
oh my God,
with like Loop's Glorious Gloop or with like Innervate,
Corazon
and Wild, whatever it may be, and then 2 copies of Earthen Scales, you can gain over 2,000 armor in a single turn.
It's easily the best card so far. Like, it's the most dynamic.
2,000 armor. You know what Shudderwalk players had to do to get 2,000 armor?
Oh my God, that's crazy. So if you cast a bee like on something that has like 1 mana, like, let's just say it's one of those paladin cards, right? You just cast it. It only has 1 health. The 3 bees live, right? They just sit on the board, right? Like, okay, yeah. I mean, man, so it basically has overkill too, which is like the bees survive, right? This is an amazing card, like crazy, crazy good card.
Witch's Cauldron and Raid Leader as well.
Yeah, I think that's why they essentially killed Token Druid with all of these other cards, these removal cards that they're coming in with, so they could create this crazy powerful new thing with Druid.
Cards nuts.
Yeah, so. Good card for sure. Can't wait to. This is definitely a card I want to try out on the first day. It's amazing.
I think Druid needs some help, so I'm okay with this card being really, really card? Good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about. Is this what we're doing, Shaman? Let me see. Yeah, that's. Yep. So, okay, we've got Shaman cards and we've got one Warlock card. So. The first Shaman card we got is Weaponized Wasp. Wow, it's got like crazy eye beams. 3-mana, 3/3 beast, another beast. Battle cry, if you control a lackey, deal 3 damage. Wow, you know, it's almost like a fire elemental at 3 if you you actually have a lackey on the board. Really encouraging lackeys to be playing Shaman, which they don't get played at all in Shaman right now. Or at least I've seen it rarely, but for the most part, you know, meta-wise, it's not being played.
Mm-hmm. Sludge Slurper is pretty good. You'll see Sludge Slurper in Control Shaman and Murloc Shaman.
Yeah, that's true.
But like Evil Cable Rat, for instance, you'll never see. They are getting the Evil Totem, which is just a 2-mana 0/2 at the end of your turn. Put a random lackey in your hand.
Yeah.
So it seems like they're trying to push it a little bit, but not a terrible amount just yet.
Yeah. Man, if you can get that 3 damage... Crazy good card. Yeah, if there's some kind of one, you know, like the Slurper's one, right? So if you get, you're taking overload, so it's kind of a clunky type of thing, but if you can get like a new lackey that's 1 and the new lackey that's 2, oh man, that this card could be crazy in terms of tempo for Shaman.
Somewhat similar to Merc Spark Eel.
Yeah,
you think, on even
you think you could kind of like work some of this Blackie stuff and this into the Murloc deck, or not possible? Think so?
I do. I don't think the Evil Totem would go in.
No.
But just because you already will play Sludge Slurper, I would think that you would need maybe to play Evil Cable Rat, or for there to be another Lackey Generation card that would fit. But I think this is good.
Yeah, I think this is definitely right on the fringe of playing. It really just depends on, you know, what the rest of the cards will be in this expansion. Next card they have is Earthquake. So 7 mana is a spell. It's a rare one. And deal 5 damage to all minions. Then, due to, you know, the aftershocks of the earthquake, then to do 2 damage to all minions. So clearly something addressing death rattles, and I think, right? Like the 5 damage hits, and do the death rattles trigger, and then the 2 damage hits too? Yeah, right?
Yeah.
So,
so like for Soul of the Forest, for instance.
That's a perfect example.
I think this card is great. It's going to be very dependent on what the meta looks like as to say whether this is stronger than like Volcano, for instance. But I think this is very good. At the very least, it's 7 mana, deals 7 damage to all minions,
right?
Which is going to be a board wipe. And you're going to see this in a control shaman deck that's not going to be too concerned with what their side of the board looks like, as long as their opponent's side of the board is clear.
Right.
And very appropriately, they revealed this right after the earthquake happened in California.
Did they really? Oh, man.
I have to wonder, did they see these earthquakes happen and were like, oh,
come on.
Push this one up or put it out.
No, marketing takes precedent over civilian responsibilities.
I really wonder.
Or human responsibilities.
Or if this was just scheduled and it just happened.
Oh, God. That's such a scary proposition if that actually was the case. But, yeah, I agree, too. It's you know, from some way that's actually played a ton of Control Shaman recently. I mean, shoot, I'd take this any day, you know, like this is instead of having to wait for my plague, you know, and have that timing, just be able to take this right off the bat. I mean, that's absolutely going to help me in my, you know, my mission as a Control Shaman. So, I'm actually surprised they gave Shaman this card, like something that's just so definitively a clear, you know, like it's not quite, whatchamacallit, a Psychic Scream, but it's pretty darn close, you know, like this is a million times better than, I mean, think about it, like Flame Strike. I mean, this is like just like almost twice as good as that. So,
it's a little strange for me because I don't think Hag's Scheme is a bad card and I'm not unhappy to play Hag's Scheme. But it seems like they're really pushing like a battle cry oriented Control Shaman, and Control's got a fair bit of catching up it has to do right now. I think this is not a very control oriented meta. The most controlling deck is like Bomb Warrior, and even that's trying to kill you.
Yeah.
So I'm not mad that they're giving this archetype some help. Personally, this is one of my favorite archetypes to play. So
Okay, we'll see. I think it's a little much. I mean, I would have liked to seen just like something that was just like absolute five, because I like this scheme because there is a nuance to it, right? Like you have to try to get it in your mulligan, or if you don't get in your mulligan, you know, if you just draw it, you know, you have to delay for a little bit of time, which usually when it comes to Control Shaman, it's like healing, you know, like you figure out a way to heal, like just to be able to build up your scheme to remove. So that dynamic's always been like really fun for me when I'm playing it. This is just like absolute. So I think, you know, we'll see how this, there must be some other stuff that's coming out that I think that addresses this. This can't be just for Soul of the Forest, like just like stomping on Druid, Token Druid. That would be pretty crazy. Okay. So we got Imp Bombing here, 4 mana, a Warlock card, rare, destroy a minion, shuffle 3 worthless imps into your deck. So, you know, destroy a minion, you can just stop right there. I mean, like, that's pretty good. I mean, that's already, like, good for single target. You know, absolutely better than Siphon Soul and, you know, like, things like that. And then throwing those cards into your deck, I'm trying to figure out, like, is that bad? Is that good? Like, what do you think?
So you can compare this directly to Blast Crystal Potion. And the question then is, which of these outcomes is better for you? Would you rather lose one of your mana crystals, or would you rather shuffle three worthless imps into your deck?
Yeah.
And I guess it's going to depend a lot on what kind of deck you want to play this in. I do think with the Warlock quest that they revealed, they're going to be leaning quite heavily into like a plot twist control style Warlock. And I think this card would fit into it, but then shuffling three worthless imps into your deck is probably worse than losing a mana crystal.
Yeah.
I also think that you can probably play this in a Zoo deck, because three worthless imps in your deck isn't going to matter as much, because so much of the power from that deck is going to come from those first few turns before this card is even active, or you're going to play this card so late in the game that it's not going to matter. In which case, I think this card's really good. So either way, I think this card's going to be played. It's just difficult to say whether it is, I guess, better or worse than its direct competitor, which is Blast Crystal Potion. But seeing as Blast Crystal Potion is in Wilds, yeah, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah. Yeah, I think this card, like you said, it can be played in anything, any Warlock archetype, just because it's a remove a minion for cheap. You know, so just the fact that you can remove a minion and still possibly play something behind it is just, you know, really great. So yeah, I mean, Blast Crystal Potion is obviously a great comparison, but yeah, I see this one card being played, and I'm just curious to see how bad these worthless imps will actually end up being, because if they're not bad at all, then this card is just off the charts. You know, so we'll have to see what other Warlock cards come with that. All right, so we're down to just the Mage quest now, which is, oops, I still have Embalming here. We've got, this is a really cool picture here, like Reno. Raid the Sky Temple of one mana quest, legendary, of course. Quest cast just 10 spells, which 10 spells actually is kind of a lot, actually. Yeah, but, you know, you really have to build around it to be able to cast 10 spells at a very cheap amount of mana. But the reward is an Ascendant Scroll, and the Ascendant Scroll is a hero power. And it is add a new hero power that replaces your old one. Add a random mage spell to your hand, and it costs 2 less too. So you get like the discount of the mana that you're paying for the hero power, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. So 10 spells. Like, how hard is it to, like, how many turns do you think it takes to cast 10 spells?
With Cyclone Mage, not that many turns. Oh, I think 10 spells kind of is and isn't a lot of spells. If you think about it, Ray of Frost with Twin Spell is 2 spells. Mm-hmm. Magic Trick is giving you additional spells. Conjurer's Calling has Twin Spell. And seemingly you're going to be playing all of these spells with Sorcerer's Apprentice, so they're going to be discounted. You'll have Mana Cyclone with Elemental Evocation, which is free to give you additional spells, a lot of which are going to be very cheap. I really don't think this is going to be difficult to accomplish. The question is, you know, does the existing Cyclone Mage deck, or a deck that would be rather similar to it, want to play this card and want to have this new hero power? And I think the answer is yes, only because the Fire Blast hero power doesn't really do much. Mm-hmm. So why not have this?
This is one card. You know, it's like, it's just one card you replace, you know, and I don't think it's not much of an investment into you possibly getting an incredible hero power here. So,
and you could even play this card. Like, you don't have to play the quests on turn one. You could play the quest with a Sorcerer's Apprentice with like a Magic Dart Frog. And then the quest is just a freak spell that counts towards missiles from the Dart Frog and additional spells for Mana Cyclone. Mm-hmm. Mage likes playing cheap spells.
Right.
And yeah, I think all of the quests and the way that they're adapting them this time around into the hero powers and into rewards that you get right away, but that aren't necessarily game winning on their own. I really like this direction for quests. I think if they'd gone in a similar direction to last time and made the quests game winning, it would have been too powerful.
Yeah.
So I'm very happy with this adaptation. And I think that you could play this in whatever, in any mage deck, honestly.
Okay. Yeah. Any mage deck? I don't know about any mage deck, but
I think any mage deck is going to want to play.
Really? Even just like your standard, like Khadgar ones and.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're all playing Ray of Frost. They're all playing Frost Nova.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe
decks that don't play Mana Cyclone. Yeah. It's going to be a bit too difficult potentially to get to this payoff. But then you have to imagine that those decks are going to be the ones that are a little bit more controlling, that want to play for the late game a little bit more and would be able to benefit from this hero power more. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a catch 22, I guess. Can you complete the quest fast, but do you really benefit from the hero power, or is it going to take a little longer, but is the hero power really, really good for you?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. It's just a generally good one. So, you know, I guess the point that it's just good for any type of, you know, add to any mage, basically, that yeah, I could definitely see that being valid. Yeah. Cause it's almost like, what's a good example? What's another good example of that? Like, I mean, it's almost like Dr. Boot. Dr. Boot's just good for anything, right? Like, or Hagatha. No, we don't play Hagatha. Do people don't play Hagatha and Murloc, do they?
Yeah, they do.
Do they? Oh, man. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, it's just a value generator. Against.
Yeah, so it's just like an auto add for anything. I guess this could be an auto add too for Mage.
It's sort of like the Druid quest, for instance, which is just, what, like end four turns with any unspent mana. You could accomplish that in any deck.
Yeah.
In absolutely any deck. So it is sort of seeming like, with the exception of the Warlock quest, which is, I think, draw 20 cards.
Oh, God. Well, you can do that with...
Certainly need to involve plot twist.
Yeah,
I think.
Plot twist has to be in there. Yeah.
So I think you'd have to play plot twist with that one, but the other ones all seem to be very low limitation to accomplish the quest.
I kind of hope it's not an auto add in every deck. You know, like that kind of makes it a bit not as interesting, because it's just generally good. It's like adding any super OP card, right? So. Yeah, I guess we'll have to see. A random spell, I mean, it's kind of like Hagatha, right? You're going to miss like half the time. But the fact that you get a discount here is huge. That's like a big, big deal.
Banking mana for future turns has always been very strong. Mm-hmm. And I do think that there's some pretty bad mage spells, but there's a lot of really good ones.
Pyroblast.
I mean, if you hit Pyroblast with this
Everybody
and then suddenly for 13 in a single turn with Pyroblast Frostbolt.
Yeah.
It's numbers that your opponent can't possibly keep track of.
Yeah.
Like, they cannot account for this hero power.
Or maybe you can get Conjurer's Calling number 8, 9, and 10.
Frostnova number 7.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, it seems like they get so many spells already that, man, you have a hero power that gives you one, too. That's pretty OP. Okay, well, anyways, those are the cards that we've discussed. Oh, we've got the one today, from today. Let me see which one that was.
Did we hit Plague of Murlocs?
Oh, did I not bring that one up? I may have missed a set. Let me see. Plague of Murlocs. Oh, I didn't bring it up. Okay, hold on, give me a second. Let me bring it up real quick. Yeah, Plague of Murlocs is a really great one. It's a shaman card. Is that the only one I missed? I think that's the only one, right? That's the only one I missed, yeah. So, Plague of Murloc is a transform all minions into random Murlocs. So it's an epic card. You can play two of them. And it's basically like a devolve, you know, like, but it's, I think it's better. It's better than a devolve, because Murlocs generally aren't super great, right? Like,
I see this as potentially a devolve and an evolve.
Devolve and an evolve. Oh, I see. For like a Murloc deck.
Yeah, I'm sort of seeing this like in a Murloc deck. You know, like Murloc decks right now are playing Thunderhead with like Voltaic Burst and Sludge Slurper for those sparks. Mm-hmm. If you can transform sparks into Murlocs while at the same time potentially taking your opponent's board of giants and turning them into, you know, Murlocs that are objectively worse for them than they are for you, because you have Cold Light Seer and you have Murloc War Leader and things to actually take advantage of the Murlocs. I think this card's absolutely insane.
It's crazy. It's multi-use. Flexible. Yeah, multi-use, right? Yeah. Like, I mean, when you can basically devolve your opponent and evolve your own into something that synergizes, that's crazy. Yeah.
I think that's probably its best case scenario, but I don't think it has to be used to make your own board better. But even just taking a couple totems and turning them into Murlocs on average is going to be better. So,
yeah. I mean, removal is pretty easy. I mean, I think that Plague of Murloc with Lightning Storm pretty much removes almost everything. Like, if you don't roll three, you might leave a, you know, 2-3 or the three health minions. But, you know, I think it makes removal outside of Earthquake, like, pretty reasonable, no matter what turn it is.
and it's freaking transform. So
yeah,
minions
exactly.
that have buffs, minions that have death rattles, yeah. minions that have magnetized. Right. This is Mech Paladin's worst nightmare.
Yep, that's true. Yeah, so another great
three mana.
I know,
why? Right?
I mean, the number. I mean, you could literally evolve. You know, like transform 14 minions on the board for three mana.
That's oh my
insane.
Gosh.
That's insane.
I think this is going to be a card that very quickly could be broken. This is getting my broken yeah. radar going.
Dude, I can't wait. I can't wait for Murloc Shamans to run this, and then there's like three or four bluegills that have like plus to like buffs on
yeah,
those.
Yeah, like five bluegills.
Oh, God,
more,
that would
like,
be so.
You're
funny.
Like, oh, pretty damage on the board.
Exactly. You know that's gonna happen. That's definitely a YouTube video for sure, waiting to happen. Yeah. So Shaman, another amazing card for them here. That class got abundance of things. Like it's been waiting to erupt. I feel like Shaman is about to become super super good. And even with the Murloc Shaman already being pretty good and or very successful in the meta, I think it's mm-hmm. about to get even stronger to have control added to it, and Murloc getting potentially even better. We'll see. The removal is pretty darn good in this expansion, so we'll see if the Murloc Paladin can. Or sorry, Murloc Shaman can survive it. That'll be a pretty good dynamic. So there's a new card too, right? Like, what is this new card here? Let me see. It is. It's in the form of video. Gosh, man. All right. It's an armadillo or something.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let me bring this up. It's called
Armagadillo.
Armagadillo.
Like Armageddon.
Okay. Armadillo. All right. Armagadillo. Interesting. All right, let me take this one off and put this one on. Here we go. All right, so it is a warrior card. 6 mana, 4/7 beast. It's just all about beasts, this expansion. It's legendary. Taunt at the end of your turn. Give all taunt minions in your hand +2/+2. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And it's at the end of your turn. I mean, it's like it's one of those things where if it lives, it can do it maybe twice. That would be, mm-hmm. I mean, what are some good taunt minions that we'd play in Warrior right now?
Zilliax.
Yeah, that's about the only thing I can think of. Zilliax.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah, Reckless. No, yeah. That's about it. So, because of that, I don't know how great this card is, unless there's going to be a lot more small taunts coming up, but for the most part, there's not really.
This reminds me of, oh geez, what was it called? Grimy Gadgeteer?
Oh, the 2/7 one?
4/3?
No.
Nah, at the end of your turn, give a random minion in your hand +2/+2. It was a 4-mana 4/3 from Mean Streets of Gadgetzon. This reminds me of that a little bit. Obviously, this is more powerful.
Yeah, this is better.
I think this card's really good. It has taunt. 6-mana 4/7 is consistent with like Violet Warden and Archmage as a stat line.
Yeah.
It's a beast. Well, it has taunt, and it's like a crazy upside end of turn effect.
Well, no question the card in a vacuum, just assuming that there are good just taunt minions to play, is super good because you're guaranteed to have it done once, right? Like you're guaranteed to get the +2/+2 to however many cards in your hand, like at least one time. And it only needs to be buffed one time to really give out, a proper value from it. So
it buffs itself or it buffs other copies of it. I think that there almost certainly will be a class taunt minion revealed
mm-hmm.
that goes with this.
Actually, Cardigan says Amani Warbear. Yeah, Amani Warbear could be pretty dang solid with this. This is the following turn too, so you get a 6/9 or you get a 7/9 coming out of the gate, and
that's true.
That's pretty good.
That's actually a good point. Are there any other? Just because that has rush, I don't know if you could potentially build an entire rush style deck with this card. Probably not.
Yeah, somebody said it would have been broken with pre-nerf chain gain. I don't know. Post-nerf chain gain, is that bad? I mean, that's pretty good too. Like that's not bad to run with this. At least one of them gets buffed. That's fine. I think that would
this
be okay.
Card.
Yeah, I think this is a good card. pretty exciting one to reveal.
Oh, wait. I'm just like not looking. It's a legendary.
Yeah, there's only one. So you're not going to have
just, like,
two of them.
I'm just not looking at
yeah.
what rarity this was. Okay, yeah, so there's only one. Well, that explains why it's freaking insane.
Yeah. Super good. Just a matter of, I mean, I don't have all the taunt cards in front of me, but, you know, as long as there's taunt, even a 5-4 Zilliax is pretty dang good. And it can be more, too. You know, like, if this thing lives a turn, you're getting +4/+4, like, on 1, 2, 3, 4, whatever cards in your hand. So it can be pretty crazy. Is it good enough to build an entire deck around? I mean, it's always questionable with one legendary. But, you know, if you can figure out some type of, you know, control or something that does already have a bunch of taunt cards, then this could be a good addition. So, how many taunt? Well, there's the taunt mechs too, right? Like there's the 2/6 that is it 2/6 or 2/5? I forget.
Security River does not have taunt.
Yeah, there you're right. Oh yeah, he doesn't have taunt. Right. Taunt it's just the 2/3 is their taunt.
There's Rusty Recycler. There's Zilliax.
I think that's it, right? Yeah. So. You know, maybe there'll be more that they add, but even if they don't, you know, it'll be kind of interesting to see somebody build one. You know, build decks with these not so great cards before, but with this, you know, would be a lot better. Okay, well, anyways, that wraps up the card reveals, and in a couple weeks, you know, well, I'm sure we'll have a bunch. Oh, here we go, Hecklebot, damage, Stecklotron, damage, Stecklotron. That's a good one.
Yeah, Bronze Gatekeeper.
Bronze Gatekeeper, yeah. There's something there. There's definitely something there. Yeah, might not be like top tier, but there's definitely something that's fairly solid. Like, I don't know how you win. You know, it's like, how do you win? You get out a bunch of these. Like, yeah, sure, you get +2/+2 on these taunts, but is that good enough to win? You know, like, and there's still no bursting or anything like that.
Is it ever going to be enough to convince you to not just play Bomb Warrior?
Well, you don't have to convince me very much to not play Bomb Warrior right now. Just purely out of interest. I'm kind of tired of playing Bomb Warrior. Like, I loved it when it first came out, but now it's like, oh gosh, I see it all the time. So, on Grandmaster. All right, speaking of Grandmaster, we actually had the playoffs happen this weekend, and it's kind of a separate note, but I wouldn't have known it was happening, believe it or not. Like, I didn't actually even realize it was the playoffs until I happened to be using my app that my site I've been building, Juked. And I actually ended up, you know, seeing it, and I was like, oh, perfect. So I ended up watching, I caught the very, very end of APAC, but then I, you know, obviously I watched a lot of the Europe and, of course the Americas finals or the playoffs in the end. A little bit of drama there too, or just a tiny bit, you know, with some disqualification, or at least match disqualifications because of decks, you know, like basically playing wrong cards. But for the most part, it was pretty, you know, great to see just the top players kind of going at it. What'd you think? What'd you think just generally before we kind of get into the winners and everything?
It all feels very strange to me still, I think.
Oh, really? Okay.
What part? Well, they announced the global finals, and the fact that the global finals is only going to be 8 players this year, and it's essentially our world championship.
Yep.
That's just taking a lot to get used to for me. I don't know. Grandmasters has been very sort of up and down in my mind. It's been a lot of repetition. Yes. And just a lot of the same decks over and over. And I've watched a lot of it, but I've never watched any of it with intent. You know, like I've sort of had it on in the background and I've like glanced at it, but I haven't really, like, it hasn't kept my interest a lot. So I don't know. I think that we certainly have 3 very deserving champions from each of the regions.
Yeah.
And I think that the global finals is going to be fantastic, but I don't know. It's just very,
I know what you mean though. Yeah. I kind of felt the same too. You know, it's like, it's a combination of things that they can't really help, but at the same time, I feel like there's something that should be done. You know, like when you have this kind of weekly broadcast, you know, just with the amount of content that you're talking about, It happened with Overwatch too, right? Just with Overwatch League. It's like the regular season, you know, leading up to the playoffs just doesn't really matter. You know, like there's not like a lot of each match doesn't seem like there's a lot at stake. It's like, I lose this week. I mean, we've actually seen it. We've seen people just completely turn around their seasons, you know, like really start off really terribly and then end up making the playoffs. Yeah. So, you know, I think that kind of lends itself to not being that interested, you know, in the regular season. And then the playoffs, where there is something at stake, which is a spot in the World Championships and obviously a lot of money, that's when it starts to become interesting. It's natural. Happens in sports, too. You know, like nobody really cares about the NBA, you know, regular season. Like everybody just waits until the playoffs for the most part. So I think that part of it's kind of natural, but I don't know. I think that what you said about just the decks, just seeing the same decks over and over, that's the weakness of specialists. You know, specialists lends itself to that. So it's like not terrible, you know, like it's not the worst it could be. It for sure is not the worst it could be, but at the same time, it's not exciting either, you know, like I don't really feel crazy amount of excitement, and I'm not sure how I'd change it. I any ideas like what they could do to bring some excitement to it?
I think Conquest would help a lot. I think Conquest would mean that we would just have a lot more deck variety, and that would make it really more exciting for people to watch. But I think a lot of the problem is with oversaturation, how much they're broadcasting, how much you're able to view, and stakes, you know, they want to boost viewership. They want more eyes on it, and they need it to be exciting for that to happen. But there's just, the stakes are just really low a lot of the time. Either the matches are so early on that they don't seem to matter, or it's so late that the top players are already locked and the matches again don't really matter. So it's, and I think that's some of that has to, you know, be on the broadcasters themselves to make it seem exciting and to provide the story and to provide the stakes and to constantly drive that point home. But I mean,
I don't think the broadcasters have been doing a bad job, you know, like they've been doing as good as they can, you know, in my opinion.
They're given what they're given.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. I just don't think, you know, after seeing actually one league that, you know, seeing Test, even Test to some extent, but definitely more so like the global games last year, these league formats, they just don't work. You know, like it's just kind of boring. You know, just having these, especially something like Hearthstone, like a card game that's been meant to be played tournament style, and you're forcing it into a league, you know? And so I just don't think that Hearthstone was meant to be played like this. Like I feel like Hearthstone was meant to be played as weekend tournaments, you know, that you know, you start it and you try to finish it in the same time. And so I would still like to see, and I've been saying this over and over like a broken record, I still would like to see a majors type of structure, you know, where it's like tournament to tournament. There are majors, there are bracelets, there are, you know, or you know, whatever you want to call them, you know, whatever we decide to call them, but there are basically, you know, these chips that you get, you know, like for to measure how great you are is like the number of chips you have, you know, we can measure legacy that way. I just think that matches what, you know, this type of game, or this kind of competitive game, is just how it's played, you know, and how to actually keep excitement and hype and, you know, have elimination just constantly, right? Like you can get knocked out of the tournament like at any moment. So you have to play well, or that player has to, you know, not make mistakes. So
I think I think that next season will be very telling. Obviously we're going to be having relegation at the end of next season. A lot of the players who didn't do so well this season are really going to have to step it up going into next season. So I am excited to see, you know, is it possible to have like a Shanghai Dragon story in Hearthstone? Mm-hmm. Like, can you have a player like, you know, Firebat or Patra, who didn't do well first season, suddenly come out the gate second season and kick everybody's butts? And is that going to be as exciting for the audience? Does the audience want to see those rebound stories?
Yeah.
Because it does seem like in a lot of ways Hearthstone is trying to mirror the league structure of Overwatch League, because it's worked very well for Overwatch. But you know, Hearthstone's not a team game,
right?
Not suited for a league structure?
Yeah, I mean, just like imagine like other one-on-one games that would be a league structure, like I don't know, like Smash. You know, like, can you imagine a Smash league?
No,
that would be crazy. Like, you know, that would be outright blasphemous.
I could see it more than Hearthstone for only the reason that Smash fans are much more passionate than Hearthstone fans. And Smash fans have their favorite players and they will die for their favorite players. Like, yeah, it's just a very different culture. And I think that's just the difference between like card games and the FGC in general. Like FGC fans are much more passionate and are much more willing to stick with their favorites through and through. Whereas with Hearthstone, you don't really have favorite players unless they're very popular streamers. So like Dog and Tice, mm-hmm. are two of the most popular players in Grandmasters, and that's because they're very popular streamers. Whereas with like Smash, you can be a fan of the best players just because they're the best players.
You could, but I you know, if you had a league though, it wouldn't be even close, like Evo, or you know, it just wouldn't have that energy. You know, like that's
the thing. I think it would be a terrible idea.
Yeah, but exactly. So I think the one-on-one nature of it, even StarCraft League, like I don't like to watch that. You know, like I like to watch definitely tournaments, you know, and I don't think that, or I think that has a lot to do with team versus 1v1. So, you know, I'd like to see them do it. You know, we've kind of done it. Like we've kind of had these like tours and stuff, but we've never like put the gauntlet down that these tournaments are more important than others. You know, like don't have it just lead to an ending tournament and world champion. Like forget the concept of world champion. You can have it, you know, like season champion be like the yearly champion and there's, you know, like a giant check at the end of that. That's fine. But when it comes to like legacy and caring, like it'd be nice to have like this majors type of thing. Like there's, I don't know, DreamHack maybe one of them, you know, or maybe the end of the year one is one of them, and you know that sort of thing. That'd be cool.
We had all these tour stops last year and all these tournaments that should have mattered.
Yeah, but they didn't. They're all the same, right?
The prize pools were very low. They happened every weekend, and I could not even tell you who won half of them.
I know. And
I couldn't even tell you what half the locations probably were. And I'm someone who is a part of, like, eight of them.
That's true.
So, I mean, if I can't tell you, then the viewers at home sure as hell can.
Right. And that's Blizzard's fault, right? Like, I mean, it's not their fault. It's their strategy. Their strategy just wasn't to make any of those tournaments more important than the others. And I think that's what you need to do. Like you just need to make, you know, and then what to do in between those, I think that's where the, you know, like you have to come up with some imaginative ways to kind of fill the space. But I think the overall structure, you know, that feels a lot more like what Hearthstone should be, in my opinion. So we'll see. I mean, obviously we're going to carry through this year of Grandmasters the way it is, but, you know, like I don't think they're going to make any changes halfway through. You know, maybe some little tweaks to specialist, but for the most part, we'll see the same thing. You know, we'll see the same kind of broadcast and you know. So,
I will say I'm very happy to see PNC in particular qualify as the first South American player to ever make it to what is a world championship. But to me, it doesn't feel like the world championships.
I mean, if it had the top players, it still wouldn't feel like the world championship. Like if Hunter Hayes is there and obviously Fino and, you know,
I don't know. I think it's a fact of it's only eight people. I think it's mostly just that it's only eight people. That's really,
that makes
that
sense.
I really don't like, and that it's only open to 48 people plus the 16 from China. So 64 people in the world have the opportunity to qualify. That doesn't feel, In the spirit of Hearthstone, that doesn't feel right to me.
Yeah.
But I'm still very happy that they finally got there because I think that South America has been a sleeper pick for a very long time.
Yeah, for sure. They've come close many, many, many times. So
Nagui Don's
been super consistent. Yeah, exactly. So speaking of that, you know, so PNC ended up being the America's champ, ended up taking out Frozen and Purple actually at the end as well. So the Purple and the Frozen match, by the way, is the one I was talking about, where Frozen actually ended up playing a wrong deck, you know, and then we found out later after Frozen won, and there was a little bit of some drama there because I don't know if they asked Purple like what he wanted to do or not, and in the end they ended up just making the decision themselves based on the rules, but at one point I think that Purple I mean, Purple wanted to actually let him have it, I think, and they in the end they didn't let him give Frozen the match because of the rule break. So a little bit weird, you know, there, just how, you know, but it was handled probably properly in the end. But, you know, just a lesson learned for the players to, you know, make sure you like play the decks you submitted. You know, don't mess that up.
It's absolutely correct that they don't let Purple make that decision.
Yeah.
It's not up to Purple. And obviously Purple and Frozen are friends, and they would have let him, if it was up to Purple, he would have let Frozen take the win, but it shouldn't be up to him. It should never be up to the players. Right. Because when you put it on the players, then the players who want to be sticklers because they want to win, they look like jerks.
Yeah.
And that's them. So you can't let that happen.
Totally agree.
What else was it? Somebody disconnected. I think it was Race. Did Race disconnect in his match and couldn't come back, and they ended up giving the win to his opponent, I think?
I think so. Yeah. I didn't see that one, but I think I heard something about that too. Yeah. Basically, somebody didn't complete their match and didn't know why. We didn't know why, like on the broadcast, and then they just had to move forward. So that's unfortunate. I mean, obviously getting to the playoffs, I mean, that's a big deal, you know, huge deal.
Yeah, that bothers me more. Just because, oh man, that feels bad. The thing with Frozen, like, that is in his control. He messed up. And I'm sure he feels terrible about it, but you know what? It happens, but it is on him. With Race, that's just probably a factor of where he lives. And that feels really bad.
Yeah. Especially, like, can you imagine if it was like old style and it was, you know, like playing all those, I don't know what it, you know, playing all those tournaments, you know, tour stops or whatever it was, and you qualify for this thing, and then you all of a sudden you lose connection. That would just, at least this is like a little bit less grueling than that. But at the same time, you know, an opportunity to lost there. Gochik says, was it against Purple? It might have been against Purple. I didn't actually see that live, but anyways, they're kind of talking about the winners. So PNC ended up winning the Americas. Europe, Fino ended up taking that, just continuing his, you know, great run in Grandmaster. Yeah. And then APAC, Surrender ended up winning. So great to see Surrender on top again. You know, like we kind of missed him the last year or two. some expected names. PNC, not as expected, even though he's a solid player, but I wouldn't say I expected him to get through it. But they're going to be at BlizzCon. You know, the BlizzCon's bringing esports back, you know, from a standpoint of Hearthstone. And so that's pretty hype. I think that's a great decision by them.
That is something I'm very happy about. Mm-hmm. I'm really happy it's back at BlizzCon. I think BlizzCon needs competitive Hearthstone, and Global Games just wasn't enough of a draw. So I am very happy about that. I think that's a good decision.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, I think like everybody taking their championships away from BlizzCon at the same time was, it just felt weird. Like BlizzCon just felt weird, especially Hearthstone. It just felt like they didn't do anything there. Like, so
they still have the Overwatch League World Cup there, right?
But that was like the cornerstone event, you know, like the last two, and it's not even a world championship, you know, it's just
the World Cup.
World Cup, yeah. So it was a little strange. WCS still finished there for StarCraft, but you know, there needs to be more, you know, that used to be a big esport event, you know, BlizzCon. So we kind of need to get back to there. Yeah.
Taking Hearthstone away from BlizzCon was strange, but it's just that the Hearthstone competitive schedule was more than a year.
Yeah.
So they could never just say, okay, we're going to do this. And then championships are going to be in November. They couldn't structure it like that.
Yeah.
But I'm happy that they are going back to this.
Yeah.
I mean,
it was sound logic to take it off because, you know, people are watching Overwatch, or people are watching, you know, World of Warcraft, or at the time HOTS, and they're not at Hearthstone, right? Like, it's just distracting from not being able to focus only on Hearthstone. So it made sense. It totally made sense. But at the same time, you know, that's like their cornerstone event of the year, and to not have it be hyped, it's super weird. It was definitely very strange the last year or into. So bad news though for me is that we're not going to be doing Streamer Showdown at BlizzCon because of it, I think, but that's okay. You know, definitely having esports back there is worth it. Okay, well, anyways, we're going to take some questions here, guys. So feel free to type out your questions in Twitch chat, and then we'll wrap things up. But before we do, I just want to give thanks to some of the folks that support the show, and those are our patrons at patreon.com/valuetown. And we've got a brand new producer, Benij. So he's our legendary producer, so a big shout out to him. And we've got Bryce L., Vincent F., Alex F., Bruce W., Michael O., Philovirus, Aaron B., Michael V., and Code Chemist, just to name a few. We'll try to get to your names. If you didn't hear your names this week, don't worry about it. We just kind of go through a few each and every week, with exception to our legendary producer. But if you want to support the show, go to patreon.com/valuetown and throw a pledge away. We'd really, really appreciate it. Okay, let's see. Any questions? Any questions, guys? I don't know if we have any questions quite yet, so we'll give you a few more minutes to ask. Do I have a question for you in terms of anything? is there going to be a WSOE event anytime soon? I thought we were supposed to have another one. No?
I think the next one they're planning isn't until December.
Oh,
I
don't know really?
Okay. I haven't been spoken to officially about anything just yet.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think December is when they're planning. And I think it's going to be a different structure. It might actually be co-ed for the first time. So,
oh, okay.
And less of like a King of the Hill.
Yeah, so. Co-ed's fun, though. It's fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it'd be pretty sweet.
Yeah.
I keep advocating for them to do teams with like one guy, one girl.
Mm-hmm.
I think that'd be really cool. But there's some potential problems that arise.
Like what?
So, like if you have them play together, the audience could say that the guy's just doing all the work.
Oh,
you
know? God.
Like it's like, hard to have the women stand on their own when they're playing with men.
Really? In Hearthstone? Yeah, I mean,
it sucks, but it's just...
Alright. Gosh, we can't have good things, man.
We can't have nice things.
I know, we can't have nice things.
So this guy's toast had to give up his card.
I know, right? All right, Wombut asks, when is Korra casting next? Anything.
Casting next. There's possibly something at the end of this month, and definitely something in the middle of next month. Although the thing in the middle of next month is not Hearthstone. So
okay.
Make of that what you will.
Keep a lookout on that. Follow her on Twitter just to see what those things are going to be. Bite HS asks, what would motivate you to come out to play in a live fireside? Do you like competitive events, casual or strange formats? You want to go first
on that? Well, the thing that would motivate me to come out to play in a live fireside, Bites, is if you were running it, for one.
Nice.
I don't know if you're familiar with Scott Chaiman, but he he runs the firesides in Southern California.
Yeah, they're definitely great events for sure. Obviously if I was out there, that's not very common that I'd be out there too, but firesides definitely haven't done one here in a long time. Like I kind of lost some momentum with the one here just because I got a little bit busy. I used to have a tavern owner basically for, the firesides out here. And then once he ran out of time, it's just kind of like, we both ended up we haven't done them in a while, but in terms of competitive format, I love them. I used to always love doing the competitive tournaments there. And strange formats, I'm generally not like, I'm pretty ambivalent when it comes to strange formats. It's like, yeah, it's cool. And it's, don't particularly like it or dislike it.
I've never actually been to a fireside gathering.
What? Yeah, oh my goodness.
There aren't any hosted in my area. Chicago is not...
You could host one yourself.
I know. I've thought about it. My dad owns a computer store, so I've been we could try and get something going.
I used to do them at Buffalo Wild Wings.
Yeah.
Yeah. The internet was just so there, but for Hearthstone it was fine. For like watch parties, it's a different story. But for Hearthstone, it was actually fine. And actually, I met Celissa there. Celissa, like,
did you really?
Yeah. Celissa went to my one. She actually won. Would she win one of my? I think she won one of my tournaments. Actually,
really? Yeah.
So it's kind of funny. Long ways from there now. So this is, definitely been doing some good things. Let's see. Cap 107. What's a class archetype you miss and wish would receive more support in upcoming expansions? Ooh.
I mean, I miss Shudderwalk Shaman, but I don't think it should receive support.
Really? That's yeah. Right. You were an expert in Shudderwalk Shaman.
Combo Shudderwalk was the last deck that I've been really attached to.
Yeah. I know what you mean. I have some of those decks. Yeah. Actually, this Control Shaman has been one of those. It's just like, I just have to play it all the time. Is there anything I kind of wish was still... I'm trying to think of anything that needs support. You know, I feel like everything was pretty darn good before. I kind of miss... what do you call it? Some type of Death Rattle. I mean, it used to be Death Rattle Hunter. You know, just the kind of big Death Rattle plays. I kind of miss those. Whether it's Druid or it's Hunter, you know, it'd be nice to kind of see some of those beast, crazy plays. But yeah, outside of that, I can't really think of anything I super miss.
I think the combo archetype in general, I'm missing right now. There just really isn't much as far as decks that you build around one specific outcome, other than Holy Wrath Paladin, I guess. So I'd like to see some more combos, some more OTK.
Yeah, we've seen Pogo Hopper recently, kind of not OTK though. But, when that thing goes, man, it's pretty impressive.
It goes hard.
It goes really hard.
For sure.
Gotrix says, Shama, do you think we could run into the Gen Baku problem that certain cards, hero cards, are too strong, so they have to pre-Hall of Fame them, like Dr. Boom and Hagatha? I don't think they're too... I mean, Dr. Boone's pretty strong. Is it strong enough to... I mean, I don't think they would Hall of Fame them. I think Dr. Boom could just still use a nerf of some sort.
I don't think Blizzard would ever Hall of Fame outside of the Hall of Fame schedule. So if they were going to Hall of Fame them, it would have happened at the same time as Gen and Baku were Hall of Famed.
Yeah.
So when that didn't happen, I think you can commit to them being around until next year.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, for sure they'll be around. Yeah, I agree with you there. They're not going to do anything early there. But even if it is, I don't know of any cards that are super problematic. You know, outside of maybe Dr. Boom. You know.
Yeah. I mean, they
made some changes recently already, right? So
yeah, they Hall of Famed Vanish and Mind Blast, but that was more so because they have been concerned with the classic set for a very long time, and they were putting additional cards into the classic set. So I don't know. Yeah. I guess maybe they are willing to Hall of Fame off of the schedule, but I don't know. I think they would nerf or balance change Hagatha and Dr. Boom before they would rotate them. Whereas with Gen and Baku, the entire point of the card is something that can't really be changed.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. It's a tough call.
Yeah. I mean, it's a pretty good state right now. You know, I think the game's, coming off the reset, we still haven't gotten too powerful. I think this expansion might get pretty, I mean, we've seen some good cards. So I think they might really, really up the power level here moving forward the rest of the year. But yeah, I think the game's in pretty good state right now. You know, we're seeing new stuff. It's not crazy broken, and they've reacted pretty quickly. So, not too much to complain about, to be honest.
I think things are good right now. I think the game is actually in the best spot that it's been. Mm-hmm. In a very long time, because Team 5 have shown that they're so willing to make changes.
Yeah.
And they're willing to listen to community feedback. So I think the esports side of things is a little rough, but I think the actual game is very good.
Yeah. Okay, well, I think that's all the questions we've got for now. But thanks for the questions, guys, and send them in. If you want to try to get your questions in before next show or in between shows, you can email those to valleytown@shamanv.tv and we will be sure to ask them in the next show. But Cora, it's always a pleasure having you on, just us two today, but I like it sometimes when it's just two people. Yeah. And we get a chance to just go back and forth on it, because sometimes when there's a lot of people, I just have to hold, there's things that I don't get a chance to get in because it's for the sake of flow, So when there's only two people, pretty much get a chance to say whatever I have in my mind.
There's a lot of opinions to field sometimes. That's and especially right. with card reviews in particular.
Yeah.
those can get a little bit long. If
you for sure, especially when you have some players on. They got a lot of opinions on some of the cards. So, but they're usually cool opinions. That's kind of why.
Yeah.
It's like, I'll just let him talk. But yeah, thanks for coming on. You got any shout-outs you want to do before we take off?
Shout-out to Bites in the chat. And all the work that he does on Fireside Gathering. Seriously, if any of you who are listening are in California, make an effort to go to one of his Fireside Gatherings, because he goes above and beyond. It's unlike anything else that you will see in Hearthstone. It's a good dude. And then to you, Chan Man, for bringing me back on again.
Yeah,
it's always good. Appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. I'll second that. All the Fireside Gather, all the Fireside Gathering organizers out there, you know, go and support those. I feel like there hasn't been as much support for them recently. You know, like there was a lot of momentum for a while, you know, to do stuff at the Fireside Gatherings, and I feel like
it was a big initiative with community for a bit.
And hopefully they still do the pack openings and stuff, you know, before the expansions like they've been doing. But
the pre-releases.
Yeah. But go check that, you know, definitely go check those out. Play some, you know, most of the Fireside Gatherings have these open tournament things that you can play at. So, go and hang out, play some Hearthstone with, you know, a friend, grab a drink or something. That's always a lot of fun. But other than that, follow us on Twitter at ValueTownGG. And you can find the show on youtube.com/ChanManV, as well as all the audio channels like iTunes and Google Play and Spotify and soundcloud.com/ChanManV. Just look up ValueTown, look up Hearthstone, you'll find us. But outside of that, we'll be back in 2 weeks. There's going to be more cards, I'm sure. So get ready for, you know, lots more card reviews coming up. But until then, see you next time.
You pull the